Good afternoon, everyone in Governing Council and in Illuminate Land. Thank you for your patience today. Welcome. On behalf of the AU Research Center, we want to thank you for attending today's presentation. Upcoming presentations. On January 25, 2006, Trevor Gilbert and Billy Chung will be presenting using online interactive tutorials in teaching psychology and neuroscience. On Wednesday, February 8, 2006, Margaret Kuhl, Karen Stauffer, and Dr. Muhammad Ali will be presenting mobile learning theory and practice. Our FOIP announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's Lunch and Learn presentation is being recorded. The purpose of recording is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to view the proceedings. The recordings are available via Illuminate. It is my pleasure now to introduce today's speakers, Mr. Robert Holmberg and Dr. Conrad Michalski. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for attending and thanks for your patience. So what we're trying to do today is to review in general terms of the project that Conrad and I did, and we're still working on. Could we have the second slide then, please? So I always like starting with the basics, and the basics in here is why do we have assignments, or in our parlance we say ENA. And the first thing is to help students learn. The second one is to determine or help students determine how much they have learned. And you can see the A there. And the next one, and then help us to determine how much they've learned. And that's not necessarily what the student necessarily thinks. Next slide. So when we use the word evaluate or mark or grade, they're synonyms in our terminology. But the one thing we have to always remember with Athabasca University is that because of our asynchronous delivery system, students starting and progressing at their own rate, we can't use a peer-to-peer type of evaluation mechanism. We have to use an objective-based evaluation. Next slide. And who evaluates the assignments? And it's basically tutors, and most of us are tutors or instructors or professors, but we're all teachers. Next slide. And this, find out with Illuminate, it doesn't work once at a time. So everything comes at once on my PowerPoint. So the importance of speedy assignment returns has to do with, one, a faster review for the student means the students retain more. It's well known that if you repeat things in a short period of time, you remember more. And the second thing is to keep students motivated. Next slide. And the problems, though, is turnaround time is longer when postal mail is used, rather than electronic means for returning assignments. But in the past, the problem has been it's been difficult to mark assignments electronically, especially if they contain symbols or formula or graphs that we have, especially in science, but also in other fields. Now, with our study, we wanted to look at five electronic ways of returning assignments. And so the first one we looked at was typing comments and email. And for example, you know, Microsoft Word or even WordPad, to put in information either at the end, the beginning, or in the middle of students' electronic assignments, and then using email to get them to the student quickly. The second one, handwriting allows a number of advantages, and one of the primitive ways of sending it electronically is by faxing. The third way, we're looking at handwriting, scanning, and emailing. The fourth way is with handwriting and a graphic tablet. Now, those people on Illuminate can't quite see what we have here, but we have a sample of a large graphics tablet that's about a foot and a half square, which would occupy a fair amount of your desk space. But there's also small ones that Conrad has that's about half that size. And they're sometimes called graphic tablets and sometimes called graphics tablets. Doesn't really matter. Next one. And the fifth way was with handwriting and a tablet computer. And a tablet computer is nothing more than a laptop computer that has a touch sensitive screen, and again, using email. And we used 10-page dummy assignments, which I'll pass around to the group who are who are present here to give you an idea of the capabilities of the various technologies. And of course we use typing, handwriting in various colors and sizes. We use formula, we use graphs, we use photographs, we use clip art, drawings in black and white and color, just to test the various mechanisms. Next. And we had evaluators test the five technologies on this dummy assignment and fill out a questionnaire. There were 39 questions, and it included ranking of the five technologies. Next. So we used 10 tutors, and they came from five areas of study as the evaluators, and we were funded by the Athabasca University Mission Critical Research. Next. And they had the option of using their own computers, their own fax machines, and their own scanners that they're used to, or they could use our project equipment. And I will turn it over to Conrad Mikulski now, who will then go through the equipment that we used and some of the results, and then I'll come back towards the end and do some of the summary and evaluation.
Well, we purchased a tablet PC that allows us to write on the screen, and but we use it, in this case the computer is hooked up to a scanner, so we just use a scanner to scan printed assignments or handwritten assignments. And we also hook up the graphic tablet to the same PC. You can write on this graphic tablet, but it requires a little bit of a hand and eye coordination because you look at the screen and you write on a side. But after about 5 minutes, I didn't like it at the beginning, but after about 5 minutes, you get used to it very easily. And it seems to be okay. The size of the graphic tablet is a little bit too big. It's 12 inches by 12 inches. And it covers the entire, you have to go from left margin to the right to cover the entire screen. So for our little other project, we purchased a smaller one that is much better for handwriting. But this one allows you, through this stylus, to write directly on top of the document. And our tablet PC has the same capability, so you can write on the screen with the stylus that is part of the PC, of the laptop. And this way you don't have to have a graphic tablet. The cost is a little bit higher, about $2,000 by now. And but it's much more handy. Part of the Microsoft tablet PC, Windows XP edition, is the ability to write on the screen. And it works for all Microsoft Office products, PowerPoint, even the spreadsheet. Everything works with the stylus. We looked at five different ways, and we calculated some of the numerical trends in our, and we'll be talking about in our written report, and at the end we have a little summary of our results, which were surprising to us. Going back to 1970, when we had only paper-based, like the correspondence way, students were sending their assignments and exams on paper-based through the postal mail or sometimes by courier. And so they go in a paper format to the university. They come and the marker, evaluator, marks them and sends them back the same way. It was like this in the 70s. It's changed a little bit in 1980s. And we had fax machines. At this time, more and more popular, getting more and more popular. So some of our students and evaluators, they were sending and receiving assignments using fax machines. Most of the bulk of the traffic still was going through the postal mail and the courier. In the 90s, more and more electronic mail, email. So the electronic assignments are sent via email and marked electronically sent back. But it's not only via email. I believe that the School of Business and the MBA programs, they use a database that basically students, they can upload and download their assignments without going through the email system, which makes, I believe, it's easier and embedded system than email. Email just gives the evaluator a tons of stuff in his or her mailbox, and they have to sort through it. This way it can be done, sorted by course, by the tutor ID. So, but this is more and more popular, and probably this is the way to go for the future. Funny, what lots of our people are doing, evaluators and students, they kind of receive, for example, electronic assignments in email, and they just go and print it. Go and print it, start marking on the paper. Sometimes they scan it back and send it back to the student. Pretty amazing look that goes back from electronic to paper back to electronic. But it happens a lot. Basically, our system looks like this right now, with the combination of all those features I was talking about, fax machine, postal courier, and the electronic way. So in many cases, the schematic basically presents the two things I talked about, that the paper assignment, it sends as a paper, sometimes electronically, it's scanned and sent electronically, or email messages. So they get printed or received back. And so this is quite a bit of different technology involved. There are some advantages and disadvantages to the handwriting. For example, especially the physics, mathematics, and biology, chemistry, it makes it much easier to write all those difficult formulas in handwriting than on a computer. So it can be done anywhere, easy for symbols, also not very expensive, and it doesn't require any training. The typing, of course, is clearer than handwriting. Some people have very bad handwriting, hard to read. Spell checkers are involved. But when you type reasonably fast, not even very fast, it's still faster than handwriting. And Robert likes this computer checking student cheating, so that you can run over the internet and check if this is no plagiarism or something like that. And no paper copies, so we don't waste any trees. Typing an email, like I said before, clear email disadvantages. It's almost impossible to type symbols. Quite a few years ago, mathematics, for example, developed some kind of a system of SQRT, square root, something like that. So they write basically in English words to symbolize their mathematical formulas. So it's much harder using email, and slower if you are not a fast touch typist. And writing, faxing is reasonably old technology, not very fast. Our testers, they complain that faxes are not going very fast. It's about 14.4 megabits per kilobits per second going over fax, so it's not very fast. If you have to fax 20 pages, it's not really that fast anymore. Sometimes it jumps and you have to resend the pages a few times. Especially over the old fax machines. The scanning an email. Scanning, if you have just a flatbed scanner like this one, you have to put one page at a time without the automatic header, so it slows you down. It creates quite big files, but it depends on the resolution. And then it's just another piece of hardware. It's around $100. It makes it a little bit more expensive. There is one piece of equipment at the university that works remarkably well. That's our printer, kind of like. Xerox Web Center Pro, there's 75 and 35 in the learning centers, and you can scan your documents and convert them almost instantaneously to the PDF files and send them as an email to the dedicated to the address. What do you want to talk?
Just speak up closer to the microphone.
Graphic tablets and email. That's what I said. You can connect the graphic tablet to your any PC and write on the graphic tablet, but it requires hand-eye coordination. I was surprised it took me about 5 minutes and I got used to it fairly easily, but at the beginning it's not very easy. It's very good for graphics, but not for marking. It's just another piece of hardware. In this case, it's quite expensive. The small one we purchased was about $210, but it's still $200. But there are some disadvantages like the price and hand-eye coordination. The tablet computer, just another expensive piece of hardware, but a couple of other testers, they loved it. It's the most expensive option, but they loved it because it was, you really work like on a piece of paper and allows you to do all the handwriting, do all the symbols.
Okay, I'll take over again. Thanks, Conrad. So this is the results of 10 people going through these 5 technologies and ranking them from the best, number 1, to 5 being the worst. And you can see on the typing thing that 5 people loved it, 5 people hated it. So we got a clear choice. You either like it or you don't. If you're a fast typist, then probably you like it. If you don't have to do symbols or anything else, typing is fine. But if you have symbols, it's not good for you. So if you look at faxing, that went all over the board. Some people liked it, some people hated it, but most people were in between. The scanning, most people didn't like it, although one person thought it was the best. And the graphics tablet was sort of intermediate. And the tablet PC, which was my favorite, only 2 people liked it, and a lot of people put it as their 4th or 5th choice. So we were quite surprised of the results, and I think it has to do with the background of the people, the courses that they're taking, and their personal preferences. But for some people, a certain idea would work perfectly. For other people, it was the worst possible thing. Next slide. So we could conclude that in the future, our delivery system is going to be as it is today, very complex with paper, with electronic, with transfer between paper and electronic. We do believe that the paper will decrease in volume but not be eliminated. Next. So just as a summary of this, the typing doesn't allow handwriting comments. The other 4 technologies do allow handwriting. The extra cost for typing after you have your computer already is virtually 0. Faxing, you can get a fax modem for your computer or a fax machine for fairly cheap. Scanning is a little bit more expensive, especially, well, the single page scanners are around $100, but if you get into multi-sheet feeders, they go up easily to $500, and the tablet PC cost us about $2,500. But if you're buying a new machine and you like a laptop, I myself would say get yourself a touch-sensitive screen, and you could use it quite easily. Now, for marking time, if you're a slow typist, it takes more to do the typing, but if you're fast, then it's even faster than handwriting. Faxing takes a long period of time because of the poor technologies involved. Scanning is high time as well, unless you use the high-speed kinds of sheet feed scanners. The graphic tablet, if you're writing or if you're putting it on the graphics tablets, it's the same, so the extra time is very little. Same with the tablet PC. And so we've repeated before about typing not good for symbols and formula and whatnot. Faxing is an old technology that is fading away slowly. And scanning does create fairly large files, but with the memory that we have in our computers today and whatnot, that's not so restrictive as it was before. And Conrad has mentioned it takes a little bit of hand-eye coordination to use the graphics tablet and the computer screen, but it is a cheap way of marking directly on the paper. And the tablet PC is the simplest but the most expensive. And we'd like to thank Matt Reimer, who was a research assistant in gathering stuff together and getting the stuff out to the various evaluators. There's the 10 evaluators, which we had to somehow pry to get the stuff out of them because everybody was busy. Everybody wanted to help, but it took us a long time to get everybody through the system. And then, of course, the research committee, the ethics committee. And next slide. Says that if you have any questions, we'll field them, but if people want a copy of our written report, which we hope to do in a couple of months, if we're lucky, give us your email address and we'll send you an electronic version. So for that, I'll turn it over to questions. Do we have? Can you check if somebody on, we'll try the people remotely and see if they have any questions first.
I barely heard that, but just a quick mention in terms of where this might go in future. I think Moodle's going to become a factor in this as well. I've been, some of us have been using Moodle now for about a year with the Center for Distance Education, and students, there is a student assignment Dropbox, so we're working pretty much with electronic assignments in, I think that's pretty much the totality, no matter which method of teaching we have in the center, but certainly with Moodle, things are coming in electronic form, but the latest Moodle 1.5 also allows you to choose, you can choose a feature that allows you to upload the assignments back within Moodle. So that's going to make it much more tempting to go with electronic returning and meaning getting away from paper and faxing. So I guess we just throw that out as where I think things are going, and I think we should all be screaming at the university to get us graphic or tablet computers for our next computers. Over.
Oh. I have to repeat it for the external people. I just Robert commenting that I don't know much about Moodle, and we'll have to learn about it down the road. Is there anyone else?
There is a question in the chat box, Maria Torrens. You could read that and respond, please.
Which in the blue?
In the chat box here.
Okay.
Right here.
From the point of view of the students, do you have to know anything about their purpose? Am I back on? So Marie, as far as I know, the way you find out about student preferences is do they send your assignments in electronically or do they send them in by mail? I'm surprised how many students I get who prepare their assignments on a computer and then print them out and mail them to me. So I think you get that sort of thing. But if they send it to you electronically, then I think it's quite easy to send them back electronically. If they send them by mail, I'm sometimes tempted to send them back electronically, and sometimes I do, but usually I send them back by mail. Anybody else? Stuart is asking whether students like printing it out for checking and whether anybody has asked the students what they prefer, and as far as I know, no. Not from our study, because we've run out of money. And they get more. This study was supposed to take place, what, we were going to do it in about 4 or 5 months, and it's been closer to a year, because just again, our evaluators were busy people and various things interfered with getting them the stuff and getting them back. We also had some tutors who were quite willing to help us, but they were in Ontario, and we never figured out how in the world we could send all the equipment to Ontario and back without breaking our bank and maybe losing it. So we tended to use people in Edmonton, Calgary, or Athabasca.
Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Robert. It's interesting stuff. I'm wondering if you could describe a little bit more about what the evaluators did with the dummy assignment, you called it. Were they given a mock assignment with mistakes to correct? Or, anyways, I wasn't quite sure on that particular aspect, if you could address that. Thank you.
All we did is ask them to add 10 lines as if they were marking an assignment through on the 5 different ways. And so we, in effect, said, you know, put down excellent or bad or write a comment or anything. So we were just trying to get them to use it as they would be marking their typical assignments. So we didn't ask them to evaluate anything directly. It was just to look at the various things that we had in the assignment. As I said, there was line drawings, there was handwriting in different colors and different thicknesses, and to see how it would go up. And when they made their comments and they sent them back to us by the 5 different ways, then we looked at the quality of what it looked like when we got it. Of course, in certain things you can put in red marking, and other stuff it comes back is all black and white. And so we have to look at that a little bit more closely. But no, we didn't have them write the same thing or do the same thing on the dummy assignments. It was whatever they felt like doing.
One more comment. The dummy assignment, most of it, maybe 70%, is graphics, tables, pictures in different colors. It's almost impossible to... You can write a comment around it, but if there is something wrong with the graph, it's much easier to do the handwriting. So this was especially useful for mathematics, chemistry, physics, finance, maybe accounting, that they can scribble on top of the assignment, and students can do the same way. That's why so the other dummy assignment is kind of structured a lot around the lots of graphics and clip arts and this stuff like that.
Is there something from Athabasca that has, yes? Oh, it may be possible. The problem is that if we just make comments, but if we make comments on the exams and send them back, then our exam security goes out the window and we have to make tens, but just the comments. I don't see why they couldn't be done that way. Again, what Conrad said about our high-speed scanner that makes a PDF file, I found that so handy after I found out we could do it. Now, I've never emailed something to an outside person because the Xerox machine puts the sender as the help desk. And if somebody was getting something from the help desk and I can't write in anything in the body or in the header line, they might not understand what they're getting and think it's trash and throw it away. So I email it to myself, and then I look at it to make sure it's scanned okay. Then I resend it to a student or a colleague or whatever I want. So there's that little aspect to do. And I think if we had more of those machines, more people would use them, because when I first thought of these scanners and whatnot that we were thinking about originally, I said, what a waste of time. But with this high-speed scanner, it's as fast as you're doing the photocopying with multiple sheets, and it really works well. I've done it with say, commenting, reviewing an article for a scientific journal. So somebody sends me a paper copy or an electronic copy. I like writing on it by hand. I've used the graphics tablet to do that. I've also done it by hand and then scanned it and sent it into the back to the journal, and it saved weeks of time, especially if you're working with journals outside the country. Yeah. And for the outside people, I forgot to say that the question dealt with making comments on exams, and hopefully that filtered through in my long-winded answer.
I just thought I would add the Xerox machine's scanned email is internal AU only. Like, you cannot send to someone outside, like, say, Talos or Shaw or wherever. Just thought I'd let you know that.
I didn't know that, but... But as I say, the way it's set up, it wouldn't make sense to somebody getting one of these things from the help desk. They're saying, what? I didn't ask the help desk for anything. Yes?
This is Diane Conrad in Athabasca. Did you seek or receive further qualitative input from your evaluators as to why they made the decisions they made about their preferences in marking?
Yes. Some people wrote extensive comments, and they're put in the advantages and disadvantages. But one of the questions we asked the people, too, is would you use it for your course and your students? And some said yes, some said no, some said maybe. And we have to go through all of those and tabulate them and figure it out. But I think the ranking that they produced was very indicative of whether they would like it or not. If they ranked it fifth, they wouldn't use it.
Yeah, and I noticed on the results chart that you put up that one of the variables there was the notion of time, which is interesting and certainly is really, really important when we're marking work. But I was wondering if they were thinking about any other aspects of the assessment process in addition to time. And of course they would be, and I would just be curious to know what those were.
Yeah, there's various comments. We summarized what we could in our short presentation, but we'll have all the detailed stuff. And some people made some, quite extensive comments. Other people just didn't, depending on their interest of the thing. So I don't remember anything specifically offhand on going through those things. But we've got a couple of people in this audience who've used them and could perhaps comment. Wayne?
I'm not a few people, I'm one person. Wayne Breeler here at AU Central. For the kind of work that I do, I found that typing was the best, and partly because I've used it often. I had a graduate course, CROP 601, in which all the assignments came in electronically, as all SCIS assignments do, and almost always in Word, although occasionally in Star Office or something like that. And I found it quite easy to either use the Word markup itself or just type in my comments in a different font and a different color and email them right back. So I was quite used to doing that, so I found it the quickest, and for my purposes I could do everything I wanted to, since I didn't have any mathematical formulas or very few and no chemical symbols or anything. And even if I had those, I think I probably would try that method first. For example, for the math formulas, there is a math markup language, and you could use Word macros to have the most common ones that you could just do with a few keystrokes. For chemistry, it might be a little more complex, but I think if you had a library of chemical symbols and the structure diagrams, that you could probably insert those, embed those in the Word document fairly quickly too. So I think I would try that method first, no matter what my subject area was. The nice technology I enjoyed using, and I would like to have a graphics tablet and a touch sensitive screen and so on, but I found it much slower to do it that way, partly because of, as Conrad mentioned, the difficulty for old guys like me to learn the hand-eye coordination of writing on a tablet and watching the screen. My handwriting is not that good to begin with, and doing it that way, it would have taken me quite a while to get nice legible handwriting and do it. And certainly it took me a lot longer than just typing. So I like the technology, and it's quite possible that it will get to a price and to a usability that it's worthwhile doing. But I think right now it's not cost effective, and especially anything that requires a student to have specialized equipment. So if they're typing it in and sending it in, if I can type the answers of the marking back, I think that's the best.
Yeah, the one thing that we were thinking about too of putting in symbols and whatnot is the student being able to interpret them at their end with the software that they had. But Ken is also here. Does Ken want to make a come up to a mic and make some comments? And after this, after Ken makes his comments, maybe we could go back to the people in the field.
Just to start with, I was playing with the tablet PC. It was a lot of fun, and I didn't hear the question. Can you repeat the question? What was the question?
Well, as you were one of the evaluators, did you have any comments that you wanted to make that weren't already discussed? Because I can't remember what things you said, and I was making summaries of various things.
Well, my comments are probably similar to what's already been said. I found the coordination issue with the graphics tablet was quite awkward, and I guess maybe one thing that hasn't been said, I'm not all that knowledgeable in various technologies, so getting up to speed on some of them I found was just a bit awkward. Conrad was very helpful with that though, and kind of got me pointed in the right direction. My students were mostly, well, they're all in psychology, so I had no need for specialized symbols or diagrams or that kind of thing. So I found the typing for me was most useful. And the method that I had used before, because the vast majority of the assignments that came in as paper, in paper form, not in electronic form. So I would make the comments and return them in paper form. But that was before we got the high-speed scanner. I probably would do it different. I would use the scanner now that we have it. I don't know if that helps.
Thanks, Ken. It helps me. This is Diane again. This would take us off topic, and I don't expect this comment to go anywhere, but one of the reasons I asked the question was because what I find myself is that if I mark on screen in the way that Wayne was describing earlier, I tend to mark differently than if I do when I mark on paper. And so I was just fleshing out some of the notions here behind the actual act of assessment and wondering how the technologies would play into the work that is actually done by the assessor. The second point that I just drop in is an issue of courtesy to the student. Based on how a student chooses to submit an assignment, which is in effect probably a result or an outcome of that student's learning style, and responding to that learning style appropriately with the marking methodology that is chosen. And I guess I'm sort of wondering how these things were playing into the responses of the evaluators.
Wayne here again. I cheated a little in that I didn't really do all of my marking online. Since I at home had just a slow dial-up line, I in fact printed off my assignments too. So I did some by hand, sort of the rough work, but then I always typed it in and sent it off electronically. But if I had a choice, I wouldn't have bothered doing that. If I had a fast line at home or when I get one, then I wouldn't do that.
Many people do that, and one of the ironies of that whole system is that as evaluators, we actually end up doing more work to accommodate the new technologies, which isn't a criticism of the technologies, it's just pretty funny.
And again, I mentioned in SEIS, that's just how we do it. We always do it electronically, you see, so we can't let on to the students. We had to print it out to do the marking.
Would there be any more questions off-site or in-house? Go ahead.
I have to abrogate your assumptions by asking about synchronous communication with students. I feel very often that we're missing an understanding of what's going wrong, particularly in, I teach finance, and particularly in application of formula. And I feel that if we could somehow talk to the student at the same time they're answering the question and hear them think about it and see them write it down, that we would be able to see where they're making a mistake. Whereas when they send in the assignments and they're wrong, we don't know what went wrong. We don't know where the mistake was made. So what suggestions, or do any of these techniques lend themselves to synchronous communication?
The answer is no. Now, you'd have to go back to audio and do the phoning or go through the computer phoning. But Conrad has a comment.
We have a little project, Whiteboard, that uses the same graphic tablet for mathematics. We have 10 tutors in the mathematics, mostly to 15 to 16, and when the students call on the tutoring hours, during the tutoring hours, they connect to the internet and tutors, they have the same tablets, and the students and tutors, they connect to the whiteboard. So you can write at the same time, and both sides, up to 15 concurrent users, they can see the same screen with handwriting. So we have a little project with 10 tutors, mathematics mostly, to chemistry.
Thank you, Ron. I'll follow that up. Wayne here again. Just another thought on that. With my dial-up line at home, I wouldn't do this, but it seems to me more students than tutors probably have webcams, and a lot of them probably by now have video conferencing in effect instead of just audio on MSN and so on. So that would probably be a cheap alternative to some students and some tutors. But this is the first time I've seen Illuminate, because again, I can't run it from home, and I noticed it has a whiteboard feature. So if it becomes standard, or if Moodle has such a facility, then that's the obvious thing to look at. That there must be something equivalent to having webcams and drawing, oops, and having it aimed at your paper that you're writing on, so you don't really have to have a graphics tablet or anything.
When we were doing this whiteboard project for mathematics, we talked about the video, the webcams, and some of our tutors, they said, I don't want my students to see my face, or that I'm in my pajamas at home or something. So it was interesting comments. But yes, the voice over IP.
Yeah, just to clarify, the math project that Conrad's talking about is actually using a website. So everybody just goes to the website and plays around on the whiteboard there. So and the tutors have graphics tablets, but you can use your mouse if you're terribly clever at it. Obviously, it's more awkward. So that's as low tech and as we can get. We just all go out and play on the web. I think that one's going to be pretty. That's kind of Conrad's specialty, is finding low tech solutions.
Yeah. Robert would like to know if there's anyone in the Illuminate land with another question. We're almost ready to close, so please get your questions queued up. Thank you.
Then I'd like, on behalf of Conrad and myself, thank you for coming and participating. And we've learned a little about Illuminate and its restrictions on using PowerPoint, because I had some fancy little things with it that disappeared. So we'll see next time. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.